Can we say a prayer together? Let's pray together. God and Father, we are so grateful for you. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we are amazed that you have created everything out of nothing, that even scientists admit everything came from nothing, and that the great designs you have out there are amazing. There couldn't be what we see without your hand having created everything. And Father, knowing that there are trillions of galaxies, each having hundreds of billions of stars, and how broad and wide the universe is, that you would choose us as your special possession, that you would love us above all, that Jesus did not die for plants or animals, but Jesus died for us, that we are the apple of your eye, we are the center of your love. And Father, I pray that you will empower us, inspire us, and instruct us how to be the best parents we can be. We are so grateful for our kids. We're so grateful that you've honored us with the privilege of having these kids in our lives, able to instruct them in your ways, and Father, that you will take us to even greater heights as we get closer to you and closer to our kids. We love you so much. We're so thankful for Jesus, and in his name we pray. Amen. Well, I just want to commend everyone for being here. If you're a parent, you have a noble role. Yeah, Kevin was applauding. No one else did. Let's applaud the parents here. Because parenting never ends. Once you start, this is your role for life. As parents of three adult children, Teresa and I can attest that the parenting does not end when your kids leave home. The parenting continues to happen as we influence our kids. And how many teens do we have in here? Can you raise your hands? How many teens? How many? Let's applaud the teens. How many young teens do we have in here? Young teens. Let's applaud the young teens. And how many preteens do we have in here? Yeah, let's applaud the preteens. Amen. Over in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1, Matthew 18, verse 1, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them, and he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Wow. So I'm going to ask the kids here, not the adults. This is for the kids. So who is greater? According to Jesus. Who's the priority according to Jesus? Is it kids or adults? I want the kids to answer, not the adults. Can anybody give me an answer? Philip? The kids! The kids, according to Jesus, are the higher priority over the adults. In fact, Jesus said, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. How much of an example do the parents need to be to the kids, according to this? Huge. We need to be an example to our kids so that they don't stumble. Our example is what draws them to Jesus. Jesus in our lives, Jesus living through our lives, is what draws our kids to loving God and wanting to be with God. If they see you claiming to be a Christian, but then your life doesn't match up, then Jesus doesn't match up either. And so we need to be very aware of how we're living. And I think our kids, and the kids can attest to this, I think our kids want the parents to live like Jesus. Kids, is that true? I didn't hear anything. Okay, I'm going to ask again. Kids, do you want your parents living like Jesus? Yes, thank you. There was a bold girl back there. We do, absolutely. So whose needs are more important? The kids. Who's the priority? The kids. You know what happened? The disciples didn't get it. Jesus taught this in Matthew 18. Guess what? Go over one more chapter to Matthew 19. The disciples didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. Matthew 19 and verse 13. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Then he placed his hands on them and went on from there. The disciples chased people away with kids. Why was he doing that? Why were the disciples chasing the kids away? Because the disciples didn't believe that the kids' needs were important. The kids just eat, do their thing, play. So the disciples didn't get it. And Jesus did. He said, no, these are the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus blessed them. And then what happened right after Jesus blessed them? What did he do? Did he go back to teaching the adults? He went on from there. The Bible says he went on from there. That's for us to know that Jesus was going to leave, but no way with the kids here. He prioritized the kids' needs. He blessed them, and then he left. And so we need to make sure that we are imitating Jesus in this, that when we have our kids at home, our kids' spiritual needs are the priority. This takes precedence over you and your needs. And so we as parents need to make a commitment that our kids' spiritual needs are far above our own spiritual needs. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. You see, Christian adults are already saved. If you're a disciple in Jesus, you are already saved. And why are you still here? Because we have a mission. And specifically, our number one mission is right at home. You don't even have to leave your house to be evangelistic. You can do it right there with your family. And isn't that a nice thing? And it's beautiful to share your faith with your family. It's beautiful to pray with your family. I love doing the family devotionals, especially David and Goliath, where one of the kids would be on me, and we'd be Goliath, and then the other one would be David, and then they'd be flinging the slingshot. And what would happen after that, after Goliath got hit? We would go backwards and fall on the bed. And they would, the other favorite one was the lost sheep, where I was the shepherd, or Teresa was the shepherd, and the sheep would wander off in the house. And then once we found that lost sheep, we'd put that lost sheep on our shoulders and come back rejoicing that we had found our lost sheep. It is awesome to have this mission. We love it. Look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. Matthew 18, 10. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven," let me repeat that, "their angels in heaven," every child has an angel in heaven that always sees the face of the Father in heaven. You are surrounded by God's angels in your house. Now, I hope I have an angel in heaven too. I just can't find it in the Bible. But angels are ministering spirits to us. Yep. But you know what this says is that each child has a personal angel with them. That means when you're sharing your faith, when you're doing a devotional, when you're praying, when you're serving, when you're just being an example to those kids, the angels note everything, and they're constantly going back to the Father. As if he didn't know everything, but hey, this is just an added responsibility. You know, I think I want the angels to be happy. I think I want them to be pleased with how I'm parenting. I only got one amen on that from Kevin Finnerty. Don't you guys want the angels to be happy? Yeah, we do. We do. It says in verse 12, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. What is the parable of the lost sheep about? Did you catch it? The parable of the lost sheep is about your kids. You're going to heaven. They're not educated with Jesus. They don't understand Jesus to the full. They don't understand God to the full. So God sends us out to look for those lost sheep. And when we find one, we rejoice. How important is it to help our kids get to heaven? Absolutely essential. They are the priority. And raising kids to be blessed by Jesus is a blessing. It is so exciting to see kids respond to God and believe in God and respect that. And respect our example. I remember telling my kids on a couple occasions, maybe more, maybe Teresa said the same thing, look, where we were together. Look, if mommy or daddy does anything that we wouldn't do in church, we need you to tell us and tell others. If we would say something we would never say, then we need you to tell other people because we're being inconsistent. I want to be at home exactly what I am in church. Like if we were to ever yell, we want you to tell somebody so that we can get help. And JD went, wait a minute. I hear you yell in church all the time. But I wanted accountability, and I wanted my kids to feel free to go and get help for us if we were messing up at home, if we weren't the example at home, because they are the priority. So today, I just want to quickly go through what the parents have expressed, what they would like to see our youth ministry be. So what I'm going to share is not from me. It's actually from you guys. You ready for this? We did a survey, and this is just the collection of the survey. These are all the things you would like to see, your vision for our youth ministry. Number one, to be able to spend quality time, unified time together as a family. To maintain mutual respect within the family. To learn how to be a spiritual family. Because it doesn't come naturally. We have to learn this. How to make godly decisions in our household. How to have family devotionals. How to pray together. How to teach. To be an example in worship. In church and at home. That our children need to see us worshiping God. And that we are that example of what it means to worship God. To be evangelistic as a family. And again, this is what you guys have shared with the youth leaders, and these are great things, to be evangelistic as a family. To learn how to put together an effective family schedule that prioritizes the spiritual over what? It prioritizes the spiritual over your career. Sports. Scholarships, worldly activities, the new movie that just came out, and a host of other things. This is what you guys have shared, which is great, to help our kids bond with other kingdom kids and their families, because when we switch to life groups, that changed the dynamics of the families and the kids getting together. So at this point, we really need to make extra effort to spend time with other families with kids our age, because the kids need to bond together more than just Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings are great. Our children's ministry does an amazing job with our kids, but it's insufficient. We need the kids to bond at home with other families. So this is going to take some scheduling and some priority setting. But again, this is what you guys are saying. Healthy communication within the youth, parents, and the workers. Amen. You guys want to organize activities, the parents organizing the activities. And you want activities to be able to not only help the kids, but also help the community. You want to be able to use everyone's unique spiritual gifts, not only the parents' unique spiritual gifts, but also the kids. And not just spiritual gifts, any gift. Like, personally, I have no idea how many talents are represented here that we as a leadership are ignorant of. Like, I had a sister come up to me today and say, this man, and she was talking about Barry, this man has a lot of talents he's hiding. And he wouldn't tell me what those talents were. So we need your help. We need your help knowing what your talents are, what you're good at, so that we can use that for God's kingdom. Also, the last thing is you guys want the parents and the youth taking ownership for their ministry. That's what the vision is. I commend you. That is a great, great vision. Do you think it's a great vision? It is. Well, it's what you said, so yeah, it's a great vision. So let's talk about what it's going to take, okay? This is what your vision is. Amen. Great. So you ready for this? Talking about what it's going to take? And I didn't get a handout. Can I please have a handout? Yeah, and he didn't give me one either. So, keep your hand up if you want a handout, but I'm going to continue. So, for your dreams to become a reality, it's going to take vision, heart, and action. It's going to take a fresh vision that Jesus is going to abundantly bless our youth and our parents, that having the dreams come true, what you have proposed, is going to radically change the dynamics in your household. And it's going to get all of us closer to God. It's going to inspire our kids to get close to Jesus. And it will inspire you as well to get closer to Jesus as we help our kids reach that. It's also going to take heart. It's going to take a bold heart, a courageous heart. It's going to take a heart that's all in, a heart to do our part to make all of this happen. We can't just delegate our dreams to someone else. We have to take ownership of our dreams and ownership of what it's going to take to make it happen. So it starts with the heart. You've got to have a heart to be able to do this, to have a vision of what it's going to be, to have the heart to get it there, and then what finally do we need? Action. James says faith without deeds is dead. So it's going to take action. Action to reflect our faith. How many people here believe that seatbelts save lives? Seatbelts save lives. Okay, put your hand down. How many people here have ever been pulled over by a cop because they weren't wearing their seatbelt? I said, but listen, officer, I believe the seatbelts save lives. But you weren't wearing one. But you don't understand, but I believe with all my heart that seatbelts save lives. He said, sorry, you're getting a ticket. No, you don't understand, but I really, really believe I've accepted this. I've accepted the fact that seatbelts save lives. You see, it doesn't matter. If we're not going to put it into action, it doesn't matter. So all these dreams that we've put together, we have to put our vision, our heart, and our action behind it, or it's not going to happen. Now, I need a commitment here from the parents. So in a minute, I'm going to ask for an amen, but I'm going to need a commitment from the parents that you're ready to do these things. Are you ready? I heard some parents scream it out and some parents not. I want one more try. Are the parents committing to this? Amen. Amen. So let's go through what it's going to take. It is going to take heart. It's going to take vision. It's going to take action. It's going to take love. It's going to take us going back to our roots of love, loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our children above our own needs, to be able to invite Jesus to live with us, every day. And let your kids know Jesus is living with us. That's why we want to be spiritual. That's why we want to pray together and have devotionals. Jesus is right here to invite him back into your house. Again, this is more important than your job and sports and scholarships in university. This is the number one thing. Forbid it that we should stand before Jesus and he says, why did you put sports above your children's spiritual education? Well, you see, he was going to get a scholarship. Well, you see, will any of that work? It's not going to work. We've got to be able to stand before God knowing that we have done what God commanded us, prioritizing our children's spiritual life. And we can do this. We can absolutely do this. Think about this. Let's say that your coworker or your neighbor comes up to you and says, I know that you're a Christian, and I see you, your devotion. Would you study the Bible with me? How many people here would say yes to that? Not everyone. Hopefully you'll all get there. Thank you. I appreciate your hand going up. That was great. We even have youth that would do this. We have it in us. We would absolutely do that. We would jump at the chance to do that. How much more at home? How much more are we jumping at the chance to teach the Bible to our own kids? Absolutely, we can do this. But what action is necessary to make this happen? And the youth leaders have spent a lot of time coming up with the priorities that will enable us to do this, to make our vision come true. This is what it's going to take to reach your vision. So it is the first sheet on your handout. Let's go through this really quickly. What's it going to take? Well, God will be your first priority. This is the family commitment. This is the commitment you are making as parents, that God will be your first priority. It's sharing scripture, praying together constantly. It's for parents to prioritize God in their lives overall and to facilitate building spirituality in their children. What's the second one? Be humble. Who should be humble? Parents, number one, but also youth. Everybody needs to be humble, right? But the parents especially, because God actually says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. I wouldn't want to be opposed by God. And so we need to be humble, willing to learn, willing to be taught, seeking advice from the youth leaders and other parents, and owning up. If we made a mistake, we need to own up and apologize for that for our kids. We need to be the example of true repentance when mistakes are made. And our children will notice this, and they will also imitate this. Number three, make your family your first ministry. Now, we've already been talking about this, but there's no substitute for this. Number four, we've talked about this, setting up times with other families, especially in age-appropriate situations and in youth ministry. The youth, our teens, shouldn't just be spending time with teens at teen activities. They need to be spending time together outside of that, and so on. We need to be able to, number five, families, we need to commit to this. All families will come to youth and family devotionals. To make your dreams come true, you're going to have to make a commitment to come to all the devotionals that we have. I had a few amens. Some of us are startled. Again, this is what you guys want. This is what you want and what you're asking for. In order to make this happen, we've got to commit to this, to come to all the classes, all the events. And send your youth with a Bible, please. If you can't afford a Bible, please talk to me, talk to Kevin, Andy, Teresa, any of the youth leaders. And if you have Bibles you're not using that are no longer age-appropriate for your kids, you can donate those Bibles to the youth leaders, and they'll make sure that they get to people that need those youth-appropriate Bibles, which is a really cool idea. Please drop your kids off and pick them up on time. It's really an insult to the youth leaders if you don't. It's saying, my time is more important than your time. And so can we make a commitment here that we're going to drop our kids off on time and pick them up on time? Amen, amen. And remember, it's your responsibility, not the teen workers, to get them to these events. The teen workers are tools. They're not leading your kids' spiritual lives. You are. They're just assistants. You're the one that's your responsibility to make this happen. And please RSVP to Friday night events. I know that TJ and others have sent out a lot of emails, and one of the complaints that they have is parents don't respond. They don't RSVP. And so can we be kind to our youth workers and RSVP so they don't have to call us individually and follow up? Can we make a commitment to that? Amen. Okay, amen. Remember, when you say amen, you're going to do it. That's why a lot of people didn't say amen. I'm going to do it again. Can we all commit to this? Amen. Amen. You will make the youth leader's job a lot easier. Okay, what's next? I want to go on. Families will come. Okay, we also need families to serve. We need them to teach. We need parents to plan activities, to organize, to help in any way needed, to chaperone at events, to cook. And we've got some great cooks in here. I know it because I've had some of your food. It's really good. I'm shocked the men didn't say amen on that one, but I'll let that go. And donating supplies, donating funds, whatever gets needed. The next one I want to talk about, and this is out of order from what I have on this sheet, but ask the leaders for feedback and share feedback. Does that make sense? We need feedback. How, you know, I always, Teresa and I would both, every single time we picked up JD from kids ministry, we would ask, how did he do today? And our son was struggling with ADHD, and so there were a lot of things to address here. But we turned it into, because they said he's a real leader, but he leads people away from the conversation. He leads people away from what we're trying to do. Okay, this isn't good. Okay, so we had to talk to him about leading people to Jesus and leading people to the discussion and not distracting with funny faces. But it happened. He actually changed, and so we were really, really helpful. So we need to ask our leaders for feedback, you know, how we can communicate the gospel more effectively in our family, and how to put God first in our family, and just seeking all that advice. The next one, did we talk about all these? We did. We talked about all of these. Camp? Oh, we didn't talk about camp. Okay, do I need to say anything on that one? Yes. Parents, there is nothing that will inspire your kids more than camp. I promise you. If you have to sell things to get your kids to camp, it is worth it. They come back inspired. They are interested in God. They want to study the Bible. They have had this spiritual experience. It is amazing. I know that it helped my kids become Christians. Just going to camp. Camp is inspiring. You say, I can't afford it. You need to figure out how to afford it. Talk to the youth leaders. Figure out. That's why we're having fundraisers. Participate in the fundraisers. Because by all means, you want your kids to be able to go to camp. Okay. The youth leaders have made a commitment. I don't know if this is in your packet or not. Okay. Let's go through this. Quickly, because we don't have much time. The youth leaders are committing that they will honor God and be humble because they recognize the youth ministry isn't one size fits all. They are committing to you to be a source of encouragement. They're committing to you to provide age-appropriate classes and curriculum that's relevant in faith building. They're committing to you that they will teach you how to teach. That's a big one because many of us go, I don't know how to teach. But we're gonna show you how to teach. We're going to teach you how to teach. To be able to do that, which is really cool. help organize events. They are going to help organize events, but they expect the parents to take the lead in this, to be able to pull this off. Communicate with families through email, through GroupMe, which is something new. Keep the calendar of events, provide resources, help the youth and parents use their gifts, and listen to the family's needs and feedback. And so these are very, very important jobs. And I just want to hold up the youth leaders. Can we have the youth leaders stand up? I just want to really hold them up for all that they do. Finally, where have we been? Where are we? Where are we headed? You know, we merged two ministries together, which was a beautiful thing, but when you merge two groups together, you got, especially in the youth ministry, you had completely different cultural things, likes, dislikes, patterns, things that everyone was used to doing, and you're merging these two things together. And there was some drawback to that. The kids weren't particularly happy. We had low attendance in our youth activities. And despite the fact that we have great people to serve, the youth workers and the parents were not really connected. And so that had to change. The good news is we're in a completely different place now, which is awesome. Our youth are coming out. They are loving things. We've got 11 teens studying the Bible right now. It's so encouraging to see the monthly devotionals, monthly youth and family devotionals, and to see our leadership team really united. I just went to a meeting with the youth, and I just saw how excited they are, how united they are, how visionary they are for what we're doing right now. They really want that partnership with the parents, and the parents want that with the teen workers as well, for every reason. And even though we're still a little weak in communication, we've made a lot of mistakes with that. That is changing, and they've created a GroupMe text to be able to get things out more quickly, and of course sending out emails and planning much more in advance. And they want to clearly identify needs and roles so that we can move forward more efficiently. So that's where we are currently, but we're not satisfied with that, right? We want to move forward, so where are we headed? Well, we're headed to build a strong bridge between every youth ministry, a strong bridge between our youth ministry, our campus ministry, our singles ministry, and our marriage ministry, to help develop special ministries for single or spiritually single parents, which is awesome, to be able to help the parents of youth with special needs kids, and youth worship. We want to have a children's choir. It would be so cool to see our kids up here singing. We want to be able to continue training families in a deeper way and have a calendar for the entire year that we can use, and we know what's going on in advance. We want to be able to develop families worshiping to God together, mentoring, which is a really important thing, and then special events, mother-son events, father-son events, mother-daughter events. We already have a father-daughter event every year, and by the way, that was an amazing event. That was fantastic for those of us that went. It was excellent, and I really want to thank all the organizers for that. You know, there's nothing God can't do through us, right? God can do absolutely anything, and I think that the last thing I want to encourage you on is, in order for this to happen, it's got to be intentional. It's got to be intentional. This can't be a pipe dream, it can't be a wish, it can't be, oh, I hope, or I hope somebody does this, or I'm too busy. It can't be that. It's got to be an intentional decision, like Jesus was intentional. Jesus was always intentional with what he did, intentional to make our schedule spiritual priority, make our schedule reflect what our true priorities in Christ are. It's going to take an intentional vision for us to see what is going to happen through this commitment that we're making, an intentional heart to invest all our heart, soul, mind, and strength into our youth ministry, an intentional action to make our commitment complete by following through and doing everything we need to do. And we're as intentional as parents, and God is intentional with everything he's doing, and the angels are intentional with what they're doing, and we're all partnering together in this. What can God not do through us? He's going to do amazing things, and our kids are going to thrive with this new spiritual commitment that we're making to our kids. And you know what? We will truly shine in God's family by loving the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. Amen.